in the classes that are singing females. Such conditions may not be there in open classes where there are males, like in masajid, because the women used to attend the salah with the Prophet Muhammad, and they would stay at the back and listen to what the men are saying, what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling the women. But aside that, when the classes are for women alone, it should be behind the veil, by way of protecting the man and by way of following the sunnah too, alayhi salatu wasalam, of the messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. So these are the basic rules regarding a man teaching women. But in privacy, ulama prohibit that a man sit in a private to teach the woman, especially Quran. Generally, and what still Quran, they warn against it. Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib, he has an offer on that. He warns that if you give me 10,000 golden coins, which will worth over 10 million today, I am sure I'll preserve it. But don't put a lady near me and tell me to teach her. Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib. Amongst the Sayyid al-Tabi'in, Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib. So they run away from engaging women like this. Many of them, because there are a lot of fitan regarding this. One of the early Muslims, Ubaid, Yunus ibn Ubaid, a Tabi'u Tabi'in, he told his students, he said, I will warn you regarding three things. One of them, he says, La wala takhluwanna ahdukum, la yakhluwanna ahdukum imra'atan yaqra'u alayha al-Qur'an. Let no one amongst you stay in a privacy with a woman reading Qur'an to her. If you read Qur'an to her and she has to read the Qur'an to you, you will have problems. You will have problems. Even if she's veiled, when the two of you are there. Your heart, your soul will weigh down gradually until it will die out. Because you'll be listening to her every day. Her voice, because of the nature of having to read the Quran with a sweet voice. It says, Zayyin al-Quran, ko? Bimada? The Al-Fu'atikum. Beautify your voice when you read the Quran. So when she beautifies her voice when she's reading the Quran, you are the one listening. What will be happening to you in your mind? Perhaps the first day you say ha, second day ha, and then gradually you become boxed down. May Allah protect us. Because what Allah says, that ذَلِكَ أَطْهَرُ لِقُلُوبِكُمْ وَقُلُوبِهِنَّ, makes us understand that when a man talks to a woman easily and she talks to her easily, the heart may begin to go down. The mind will begin to run down. And your iman will begin to run down. May Allah protect us. Her own too will begin to run down. And as he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, he says, لا يخلوان أحدكم امرأة إلا الشيطان ثالثهما. There is no two of you, none of you stays alone with a woman in a place, except that the third of them is who? Shaitan. The Shaitan will beautify her to you, and he will beautify you to her. And then so many things that Allah knows best will happen. So the people should avoid it as much as possible. Sheikh Muqbil Al-Wadi'i was asked the same question, and that is the same answer that he gave. He said it is allowed for men to teach women. Then he warned the circumstance where they will be teaching women, they should be careful about it. They should be very, very careful about it. If they can avoid it, it is better for them. In fact, because what we should know have levels in Islam and ruling. that the person understands the meaning of La ilaha illallah, that the person knows how to perform salah, that the person knows how to perform sawbah, that the person knows these basic rulings. It's not like knowing the rulings of tijara. Because salah, you must pray, but not every person is a tajir. La ilaha illallah, that makes you a Muslim. You must understand it. So in the basic things that the Muslim must know, those are the times that you begin to say there is barura of the death of teachers. There's the difficulty as a result of unavailability of teachers. So a woman could learn from a man with conditions, as explained earlier. Even those ones, why you don't find a woman to teach a woman? Otherwise, I always say this, it is not obligatory for every Muslim to memorize the Quran. It is not obligatory. It is not obligatory for every Muslim to memorize the Quran. Even amongst the shurut of being a mufti, yes, people like Al-Imam Ibn Jawzi, they say that it is obligatory. People like Al-Imam Abu al-Muzaffar al-Sam'ani, he says a mufti must memorize the Quran. But Jamahir al-Fuqaha wal-Muhaddithun, as Sheikh Mashhur Hassan al-Salman mentioned in his Sharh of Al-Waraqat by Al-Imam al-Juwayni, he said the large majority of the scholars of Usul al-Fiqh al-Hadith, they say that it is not obligatory for even a mufti to be hafiz of Quran. Not only him, others too mentioned it among the scholars of Usul. From amongst them, Al-Imam al-Ghazali. Once I read a brother discussing on the net about the shirk for a mufti to memorize the Quran. And he tried to push it to obligatory, to an obligation. He can't find an evidence. So not to talk of a woman who wants to live under a man as a wife. It's not obligatory for her. If she memorizes it, good. But there are some things that are obligatory for her to know, that if she does not know them, to spend time to start memorizing the Quran is like spending time to study for jam when you are in the primary school. So a woman doesn't know how to pray. She's a qari'a of Quran. She doesn't know how to perform salah. She doesn't know how to make tahara. And she is qari of Quran. She does not know simple adab of Islam. She's qari of Quran. How is that? مثل الذين حملوا التوراة ثم لم يحملوها كمثل الحمار. Himar, the donkey, is used as an example of a fool and an ignorant person. Essentially, the basic ruling of the donkey, when you say somebody is a donkey, you are describing his level of ignorance. But when a person becomes learned and does not apply or cannot apply the knowledge, so you see, the foolishness is still there because Allah says, كَمَثَلِ الْحِمَارِ, although it is carrying a body. That is why Imam Ibn Jawzi in Sayyid al-Khatir, he said it is worse for such individuals because he's still ignorant, but he's carrying the body of books. But he's still ignorant. The books are on his head, that's the body, cool? The burden of going to learn every morning, memorizing, this, that, is on his head. And yet he's ignorant. So the one who has not suffered like her and she, yes, is just a donkey, but it's not carrying anybody. One donkey is carrying a burden. The other donkey is not carrying anything. So it is being khasara. First thing, first. One of the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Jarir ibn Abdullah al-Bajali, he reported this hadith in Sunan ibn Majah, I think hadith 69 or so, that when they came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they were young people. He says, فَتَعَلَّمْنَا الْإِيمَانَ قَبْلَ الْقُرْآنِ. We learned Iman first. We learned Sunnah first before we learned Quran. He says, ثُمَّ تَعَلَّمْنَا الْقُرْآنِ. After that, we now learned the Quran. فَزْدَدْنَا إِيمَانًا. Then with the Quran now coming, after we learned Iman, our Iman got what? Increased. Huzayf ibn al-Yaman, Abdullah ibn Umar, and others amongst the companions, they used to abuse people they referred to as Qurra. See, the problem with you Qurra these days is that you are learning the Quran before learning Sunnah. And that's why you see أَكْثَرُ مُنَافِقِ أُمَّةِ قُرَّاءُهَا. Many of the people have this Quran. If you see some of them behave sometimes, you find it very funny. You must learn first thing first. The first thing to learn, like an Imam Ibn Abdul Barr mentioned in Jami'u Bayan al-Ilm wa Fadlihi, the first thing for the Muslim to learn is Al-Iman wal-Islam, or Al-Islam wal-Iman. The first thing for us to learn, what is Islam? Jibreel came and asked the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Go, we learn it as he asked. What is Iman? We learn it as he asked. And then we start learning other details of the deen. As we learn that, we learn Quran. How to read Quran from Mus'haf. Ulama, the Muft, when he knows where the ayah with which he will give a fatwa is in the Quran, he can open it up. The ayah is here. Yaqeen. So when we as Muslims leave all these basics, we go and start from Hifzul Quran. How is that? So the person will memorize Quran and all the fisk will still be with him. May Allah protect us. A lot of Quran. I'm giving this example once. One of our brothers down there, or up there, he was coming from Salatul Sujhi. And he saw a young Hausa boy smoking Indian hemp. That one was telling him, Ustaz, salam alaikum, he didn't answer. Salam alaikum, he didn't answer. That one went and said, you are not answering me. You think I don't know Quran? If you sit down now, I will read the entirety of Baqarah to you from my head. And here is he with what he is doing. And he has not performed Salatul Subhi because they were just returning from the masjid. And he's half of the Quran. It is not the Quran is not the beginning of learning Islam. The beginning of learning Islam is to learn Tawheed, awal. Then learn Salah, how do you pray? You learn fasting, how do I fast? Learning means you know what you do in each circumstance with the evidence for it. You learn what you do in each circumstance and the proof for it. Because knowledge is ma'rifah to share with dalilihi or ma'adalilihi. You know a thing with its proof. How many of us here can describe Salah from the beginning to the end with the hadith that justifies it? That Allahu Akbar, when we start Salah, we must say Allahu Akbar. Where do you find that proof? He says, Subhanaka Allahumma bihamdik, tabaraka smuk, wa ta'ala jadduk, wa la ilaha gairuk, aw Allahumma rabba jibreel. Which hadith is that? Who reported the hadith? Where is it? So that as you are praying, you are also remembering the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You are remembering the companions who reported the hadith. You are remembering where the hadith is, the masadir. That salah will be a salah with life. It will have life. So then, when you now memorize the Quran upon that, you will read the Quran and then you'll be able to cry. It's been long I heard that. Somebody reading Quran and crying. It's rare now. Our own eyes are dry. Because things dry the eyes. Sins, they dry the tears of taqwa and khashiyatullah. Sins dry it up. The heart What did he say even about Banu Israel when they hear Quran? He says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ إِذَا يُتْلَى عَلَيْهِمْ يَخِرُّونَ لِلْأَذْقَانِ سُجَّدًا. What did he say after that? In the end of Isra. He says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ مِنْ قَبْلِ. Both the Jews and the Christians who were living in Medina, who became Muslims, people like Abdullah ibn Salam, people like Salman al-Farid, when they hear the Quran, what did he say? يبكون ويزيدهم خشوعا. Christians who became Muslims, when they hear the Quran, يبكون. Allah say يبكون, they cry. Not only that, ويزيدهم خشوعا. It will increase their fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Anfal, he says, إنما المؤمنون الذين إذا ذكر الله وجلت قلوبهم وإذا تليت عليهم آياته وعلى ربهم يتوكلون. So these things are not common now because the man does not know Iman. He doesn't know anything, he's just reading the Quran. And I've always said this, Yoruba don't know Quran. We do not know Quran because our malame, they have not explained Quran to us. Yoruba scholars have not explained Quran to the Yoruba people. Their people don't know Quran. Forget about their tabajjujat bil lugha arabiyya. Forget about that. Somebody may deceive away and he still finds it difficult to understand what Allah is saying in the verse of Quran. I tell you this. So many times, the average Yoruba man doesn't know Quran. He doesn't know what Allah is saying. So even when you read the Quran, he doesn't know. He can't even listen to one. I say, Malam, the Sheikh in Lagos who passed away, Adam Al-Ilari, is about the most popular Yoruba scholar in Nigeria. In fact, in the history of Yoruba land, about the most popular and well-known. And he wrote a lot of books in Arabic. If you mix the scholars in other parts of Nigeria, you will know what I'm saying. They will always ask you about this man and the students of this man. They give him a lot of respect. But how did he attain that? Quran. He paid attention to Quran. And he was explaining Quran to the Yoruba race. Is it not? And that's what he said alayhi salatu wasalam. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَيَرْفَعُ بِهَذَا الْكِتَابِ أَقْوَامًا وَيَضَعُ بِهِ آخَرِينَ. Allah, with this book will raise some people. And with the same book he will bring them down. Yorubas don't know Quran. And that's why in the north, those who have a say amongst the scholars in the north are those who explain the Quran to the people. If you listen to five Hausa men listening to the cassette, two of them are listening to Malam Jafar Mahmoud. If you listen to five and they listen to the cassette a lot, three or two out of five are listening to the tafsir of Malam Jafar. At least they can understand what Allah says. What did Allah raise the Prophet to tell us about? Which message? Muhammadun Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What is the risala given to the Prophet Muhammad? What is it? Quran. So if a malam will tell the people about the message of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what will he explain to them? Yorubas don't explain Quran until Ramadan. And in that Ramadan, it is Olubaweto, the sponsor of the program, that takes half of the time. But to say this is a learned person, versed in the sciences of the Quran, sitting down to explain Quran to Yoruba people, if you know one, tell us now, let's know it. Let's know him. Very rare. Very rare. The average taxi driver in Kano is listening to the Quran in tafsir. I tell you, even Okada. Rider, they are listening to Quran. Must the person memorize the Quran to know Quran? To know what Allah is saying in it? So all you find them do is, this one is not, this one is not that. Come out and explain the book of Allah to the people. You hardly find Yoruba people doing this. There are places in the north, every Friday you know there's tafsir. Everybody comes with his Quran. In fact, there is a malam that I know near where I live, Malam Garkawi. If you every Friday you listen to tafsir of Quran. And some of those sitting in front of him, I tell you, they can read all the riwayat and kira'at of Quran. Yes, they are listening to a more learned person explaining the Quran. So the Jews, the sitting with the sitting of Quran, يَتَدَارَسُونَهُ فِي مَا بَيْنَهُمْ. Didn't the Prophet tell us that, alayhi salatu wa sallam? What is tadarus? يَتَدَارَسُونَهُ فِي مَا بَيْنَهُمْ. They are learning, mutually explaining the Quran to themselves, amongst themselves in the masjid of Allah. Do we have this? Very rare if you have. So, we should pay attention to explaining the Quran to people. Yoruba scholars should pay attention to explaining the Quran to people. The Quran is the message of Allah that He gave to the Prophet Muhammad. And the scholars are the people of who inherited the knowledge that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has brought. They are the ones to also do the job. Sometimes when I hear perhaps a person of Jama'at to Tabligh, he stands up in the masjid, he says also, let's go and explain. I say, what do you want to go and explain to the people? Which verse of Quran? Balighu anni walau ayah. Which ayah do you want to explain? Which ayah do you want to explain? The ayah that I should come out and go out? No. Which one will I sit down and hear from you as they sat down and hear from the head from the Prophet Muhammad explaining the meaning of the Quran? Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. And of course, no, this Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. And he'll be speaking in Yoruba language. This is the meaning of Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. The Prophet said this, alayhi salatu wasalam, about Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. This is the meaning of Ar-Rahman. This is the meaning of Ar-Rahim. These are the implications. After we know the meaning, how do we benefit from the Rahmaniyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? All of these things gradually will implant the fear of Allah in the minds of people and respect for the word of Allah. You hardly find Yoruba's doing this. He doesn't need to be a giveaway to do that. He doesn't need to. When, worse still, most of our people who go to Madaris Nizamiya, the madrasa established Madaris, they are very poor at reciting Quran these days. Find out. They pay a lot of attention to grammar, to the, yes, it is good, but they are support for something. If something that is a support for something is even now giving attention to that very thing, for which other things are supposed to be support for, you give pay attention to auxiliary and forget the substance. The substance is the Quran. The Quran. Yoruba scholars should explain the Quran to Yoruba. May Allah make this easy for us. Women should be careful about learning Quran from men, generally speaking. Look for a woman that can teach you. And the basic thing on each and every one of us, we must know the basic things Islam has come with. We must know our tawheed. We must know salah. You must know tahara. How do I prepare myself for ibadah? We must understand all these things in the basic details. These are the basic things we are asked to learn. If the man now wants to become a scholar, that's another thing. It's another journey altogether. Or is it not another journey? We all obtain BSc's, MSc's, but the one who wants to become professor, from the time that he obtained a master's degree, he starts writing papers and doing research-based works. They are all different journeys. So somebody after learning the general basics, he wants to be scholar. That is something else. But how can you want to claim scholarship and the basics? it has not gone around. So may Allah protect us. May Allah make things easy for us. Yoruba scholars should explain the Quran to Yoruba people. It will agitate iman in them. It will bring iman in them. It will make them more conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And any person who does that, Allah will raise him amongst them. Any person amongst them who does that, Allah will raise him above the rest of the people. May Allah make things easy for us. The question was, can a man teach Quran to women? And I think we got our answer, inshallah. These issues have been discussed. A woman who has not married, she wants to travel to learn. What does Islam say about this? Note, none of her relatives is ready to go with her. Will she stay at home and remain ignorant or travel without mahram? Schooling as an example. Don't come back and then go and start saying what Malam said, people should not go to school. You know, people draw funny conclusions from responses. You're asking me now, if I want to go to school, I don't have a mahram, how do I do it? Because everything has its place in Islam. So if they give you the place where it will be gone, I say, oh, one man and say this to women. Nobody will tell you that. Nobody will say that to you. No reasonable person will tell you that. Because, and I say this a lot, going to school does not necessarily mean being knowledgeable. Many go to school, but they are not knowledgeable. If you put your child there, when we put our children there, we must still ensure that knowledge is imparted. When our children are in the school, we must still ensure that knowledge is imparted. If you are in a higher institution, you must make sure you are learning. University will not tell you to learn. The man will just come write 2-3 things on the board and go away, is it not? You are the one that must ensure that, oh boy, am I learning? Even if you pass the exam. That is what differentiates the brilliant student from the non-brilliant student. The one who will sit down and say, what have we learned today? And then he will adjust it on. Read off. The other one will say, he just wrote 1-3 on the board, that's all. He's waiting for 1-3 in exam. The other one read up to 5 and 6. So when the exam come upon 3, 4, 5, he has edge from 4 and 5 over the one who stopped reading at 3, where the lecturer stopped. So we must ensure that we are learning. It is not compulsory for a woman who is in Oshogbo to go to UI. There are universities here in Oshogbo, 3 now, go. There is Osun State University, there is Fountain, and which one again? Open University. It's not compulsory you go to UI. You can do it here. You don't need mahram to go to Agunbelewu or where is it? Okay, vale. You don't need mahram. We're not rich. You don't have to go to Usman Danfodio. There is the Osun here. It suffices as a reason. They ask you, why didn't you go to Usman Danfodio? In Usman Danfodio, I will need mahram. In Osun University, I will not need mahram. Suffices. So we don't have to create a problem out of that. You don't have to. If you know, you believe, you must not travel without a mahram, and you must not actually travel without a mahram, then go to a school where you don't need to travel with a mahram. If you are in Ede, go to Ede Poly, go and take HND there. After HND, do computer online course. There are even free universities online now, free, MREE, from UK. There is what they call the People's University. Go to the net, browse it, I tell you. There's hardly any course you want to do as a woman, you not see there. These are me, all you see. And your certificate will come from Ori Okeoko, UK. What else do you want? You will see that you will learn. In fact, it is easier in our own world now than it was before. There are women working from home. There are architects, women, doing computer event, CAD diagram. They draw it, their husband get the job, bring it, they do it, they send it back, even in other developed countries. What you need to do is enable yourself. Enable yourself. Enable it is a big wide world now becoming a small village. Big wide world, but a small village. You don't see www, they wrote there. Cool? But it's one small village. It depends on how you empower yourself. So not having mahram is not an impediment to go to school if you have to. May Allah make things easy for us. It's easy. And the issue of ikhtilat, the men mixing with women, your online university will solve that problem for you. I always tell the people, better your English language if you are doing English language based course. If you are doing Arabic based course, better your Arabic. Better your means of communication. Knowledge can be transferred to you in the language of that knowledge. So if it's an English, somebody doesn't know English well, they send her handout from UK. If she read it, she'll be understanding opposite what they wrote there. So I give a lot of emphasis to understanding the language of the knowledge you are seeking. If some graduates write letters for you now, you lie them down and flood them. I tell you this. Go copper, I'm copper. Tell you, write your name. Here, let's see. Her name or his name. Name. Because some people still start writing their names with small letters. Don't be surprised. I've seen it before. I'm not conceptualizing. And when they write a formal letter, they still write with small letter. They start with small letters. They write the topic of the formal letter with a small letter. With small, they start writing with small letters. Or they mix up small letters and the capital letter. These things happen, and they should not happen. So we should enable ourselves and enable our children. The world is moving fast, like I've always said. The one who wants to remain behind is the one who kept himself or herself behind. Like he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, man bata'a bihi amaluhu lam yakun liyasra'a bihi nasabuhu. The one who deliberately keeps his handwork, keeps him behind, let his family lineage will not push him forward. If your handwork push you back, your lineage, I am the son of so-so-so, will not push you forward. Your work push you back. It is in everything that we do, not only in the matter of deen. مَنْ بَطَّعَ بِهِ عَمَلُهُ لَمْ يَكُنْ لِيَسْرَعَ بِهِ نَسَبُهُ. So let's enable ourselves and learn. There are so many ways of learning today. So many. May Allah make things easy for us. Okay. This must be a female question. Is it allowed to drill more than one hole on the ear for earrings? How about 16 earrings on the nostrils? Well, things like this, ulama say, as long as they don't bring harm to you, it's allowed. Things like this, as long as you don't get harmed as a result. For example, somebody says in your eye now, when you did something, like the glasses they fix now, lenses. Do you know girls now fix lenses? The white on the eye. Is that the retina? The white side of the eye. What do you call it? The cornea. They fix lenses on it. On the black one, sorry. On the black one, or both even. Yes, contact lenses. That's what I mean. They fix it right inside. Some of them are just by way of being, you know, judgeous. Otherwise, there is nothing around that. But I learned that it breaks inside the eyes. So don't do that, because it's. I know somebody who is like that. She did it, it got broken in the eye. So don't do that what will bring harm to you. Inna Allaha kana bikum rahima. Allah is merciful to you. Why do you want to harm yourself? To accept things like that. Otherwise, and then you want the six long eyelashes. So people should be careful about things like this. The eye is not a play place. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us to use the ismid. Says, alaykum bil ismid. Says, make use of the ismid. Says, it brightens the eye. So if you want your eyes to be bright, use the ismid. But that ismid, you must make sure it is not containing lead. Because sometimes people add lead to it. How do you know? And lead is poisonous. It can blind the eye. Yes, immediately. It's very radioactive element. Because black lead will be something around the sulfides of lead. So don't use that. How do you know then the difference between kosher that is useful and the one that lead has been added to it? You dip it in the water. The one that has lead will go down the water because of its density. But if it is ismid, it will remain on top. So when you pour coal in the water and it goes down, you know it is lead. You can't use it. Test it before using it for the sake of Allah. So when you test and you find that it is real ismid, apply it. Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi in Al-Shama'il al-Muhammadiyya brought a lot of ahadith on this from the Prophet Muhammad Anas ibn Malik, Abdullah ibn Abbas, and the rest of them, Abu Huraira. He brought hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used it a lot. He said three times on the right eye, three times on the left eye. He applied it most of the times before he slept. He says it will brighten your eye. So let's use that for the eye. And then you still have the sticks you can use to rub on your face. It's allowed. In fact, it is from the Sunnah. Because Al-Imam ibn Sa'd in At-Tabaqat mentioned afar that Aisha radiallahu anha used to do that on her face. What you can call makeup today. Radiallahu anha. Radiallahu anha. Because some of our sisters could think when you make up her, dunya has carried you. Make up. For you it is akhirah, you stick with it. So these are things that are allowed. When they don't bring harm and they don't permanently change your nature, such as what they now call lightning creams. Lightning creams, na lie. Lightning creams, brightening creams, they are still bleaching creams. Lightning, brightening, sun protecting creams, they are all various forms of bleaching. In fact, that those ones they refer to as sun protector are worse because they cause cancer of the skin. I'm not just telling you, when you go back, go and search, read about it. The ones they call skin protector. That they say, no, I'm just protecting my skin. I'm just when you are bleaching and you are susceptible to skin cancer. So be as natural as possible. There are oils that you can use. Like coconut oil, it freshens the skin of a person, male or female. Coconut oil, Yoruba refers to it as adiagma, refreshing your skin. So if you are inside the house and you use adiagma, you can use perfume. There are smart collection perfumes. They are not so expensive, but they are very cheap. They're nice, I tell you. For women, because from the sunnah is that women also use perfume. In fact, in Al-Shama'il al-Muhammadiyya, a man used a perfume for women, and the Prophet was annoyed with him that he's using a female's perfume. What is the difference between the two? The female's perfume has the color, but the smell is light. While the male's perfume has a, you know, wide, harassing smell, while the color is what? You know, khafif, light colored, but bright and outspoken in its smell. For males, the opposite for females. So it is from the Sunnah too that women use their perfumes inside their houses. And when they want to go out of their houses, they wash it off. Or the day they know that they are going out, they never use it at all throughout that day. When you come back to the house, have a nice bath, rub your adiagba again, and then you blow it off with your nice perfume. Likewise, ori, yes, ori brightens the skin. You don't need to, just you rub ori. When Abba comes, if he sees the skin, he will say, Allahu Akbar. So you don't need, I'm saying this because I have to give you an alternative. Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Husayni said, in matters like this, when you say so-so is haram, you must tell us what then is the halal alternative. Likewise, your hair, employ adiagba well on it. When you wash it, employ adiagba. You have nice, soft hair with adiagba. If you can't find adiagba, zaytun is readily available. The Prophet even encouraged us to rub zaytun on our body, alayhi salatu wasalam. He says, Kulu zayta wa dahinu biha, alayhi salatu wasalam. And Imam al-Tirmidhi mentioned it in Ash-Shama'il al-Muhammadiyya. He says, Kulu zayt, eat with zaytun oil. This is evidence. You can fry your plantain with it. You can fry eggs with zaytun. He says, فَإِنَّهَا مِن شَجَرَةٍ مُبَارَكَةٍ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ. He said, because it is from a tree that Allah has blessed. What is that tree? Zaytun. Allah swore this in the Quran. وَالتِّينِ وَالزَّيْتُ. So it is sacred. So if you can't have uri, you can't have adiagba, you can always have zaytun. All of what I have described with the first two, zaytun too, can do it. There are other things people mix up. If you add aloe vera to some of these things, you have better results. Aloe vera oil, especially for the hair. And there are ways of even using eggs. They know it better. Anyway, so they should find out alternatives. Alternatives. There are alternatives. Of beautifying oneself. Because you cannot disconnect a woman from beauty. She must beautify herself. Allah said that. أَوَ مَنْ يُنَشَّعُ فِي الْحِلْيَةِ وَهِيَ فِي الْخِصَامِ غَيْرُ مُبِينَ. A woman that is brought up inside hilya, adornment, she must adorn herself. وَخَيْرُ الْأُمُورِ أَوْسَطُهَا. In our religion, the best of affairs are the middle course. We should not go overboard regarding that also. May Allah make this easy for us. One way of maintaining your beauty is to keep clean all the time. Have your bath regularly. Not necessarily morning and evening. Regularly. I say regularly. When a woman has her bath regularly and uses these things regularly, you will see how she will be. Many women don't have their bath regularly. And it's not proper. The early Muslims were not like that. The wife of Abu Dharr al-Ghifari came one day to the house of the Prophet Muhammad. This hadith is in Musnad Imam Ahmad. Aisha radiallahu anha and the rest of the women were telling her, you are not dressing up. Why are you like this? Haggard. This is evidence. Ulama say this is evidence that at that time, women also will look at you. You not dress me. She said she's not dressing up because her husband does not have time for her. The women went to report to the Prophet Muhammad. The wife of so, she's not dressing up. And we asked her, she said that because her husband does not have time for her. The woman said in the night, he's making qiyamul layl, alhamdulillah, bakaratuna, in one night. And in the afternoon, he's fasting. He doesn't have time to look at whether how is she looking. And the Prophet invited him, alayhi salatu wasalam, and taught him what to do. The point of reference is that women must have time for that. In our place where we come from, they call it Kayan Kwaniko. Kayan Kwalea. Kaya means eru in your own language, load, commodity, equipment. Walea from Kuzul, the kaya that a woman employs to keep herself good looking. What I'm saying is that when Aisha radiallahu anha and the rest of the women in the house of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw that that woman was not properly dressed, they protested. Are you? You don't dress well. Meaning that a woman must always dress well. But Yoruba women have a way of inverting the whole thing. They don't dress well inside the house, but when they are going out, they dress well. See them wearing lace and kara when they are going out. Inside the house, they tie up. It's not proper. It should be the other way around. Dress well, the best, when you are in the house. When Abu buys a good clothes, he's buying it so that you can wear it, make I see. Let me see. So it's very, very important. Very important. You know, I'm making this emphasis because some of the women will say, when a woman begins to dress so much, they say, dunya has taken her, that's why. No. The early Muslims were not like that. And they are better than every woman on the earth today. Radiallahu anhum. Please, is it true that one can perform Salatul Jum'ah anytime between 9 a.m. and 1 p.m.? Please explain, because Sheikh Albani Zaria said it. Rahimahullah. Well, it is true not because he said it. It is true because the ahadith on it are authentic. And they are contained in Sahih al-Bukhari. But things like that, when you do it, you must follow it first. You must precede it with explaining to the people. Let the people know the true state of things before you start doing it. Apart from him, other people are doing it. So, it is not a strange thing. It is correct, inshallah. This person is also asking about piercing the ear, 4 earrings, 5 earrings. You can put 50 there if you like. Alaykum salam alaykum. Okay. He has prayed Jum'ah now. If he prays Jum'ah at 12:30 or 12:45, at 2 o'clock will he pray Zuhur again? Alaykum salam. He has performed Jum'ah again. If you want to perform Salatul Eid in the mosque, it must be that you don't have a musalla to perform that Salatul Eid, or that there is rain or any other thing preventing you from performing that Salah outside. It can even be outside your mosque like this. So in that circumstance, if you come into the masjid, you perform Tahiyyatul Masjid. You perform because of masjid, not because of Salatul Eid. If you are in Makkah, Medina on the time of Ramadan, because you perform your Salatul Eid inside the masjid. In my masjid, Haram Makki or Haram Madani, you perform it there. I did that besides one of the scholars and he approved what I did. And that is the basic rule to perform Tahiyyatul Masjid. So that those two rak'ahs are for the masjid, not for Salatul Eid. Salatul Eid does not have two rak'ahs preceding it. Alaykum as-salam. Jazakallah.
It's something that some of us friends to us that we don't have the knowledge. So in case we want to get somebody there, can we have one or two ideas?
I mentioned the hadith is in Sahih Bukhari, just go to Kitab al-Jum'ah, the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar. But you get a fuller explanation in the book Al-Ajwibatul Nafi'ah An As'ilatul Wafida by Sheikh Al-Albani. He explained it in detail in that book. is a common book, inshallah. Al-As'ilatul Al-Nafi'ah, Al-Ajribatul Nafi'ah is popular. If Allah permits, when we get to Kitab al-Jum'ah in our book of fiqh, we'll explain in great details. Even Allah. Is it necessary to call Afa to name one's child? It is not necessary. Every parent can name his or her his child by himself, because there is no his or her in this case. So, every father can name his child. Just stand up, tell us the name. You may not even invite anybody. Do we know that? The ram, once you slaughter the ram, you have fulfilled the right. If you like, call us to come and eat the akiko. If you like, don't call us. If you like, call us, give us a little, keep little. If you like, keep the whole meat for yourself and your family. Lava. Don't call anybody. Lava. Or you slaughter the ram, you do everything and call the people on another day. Because it is not your calling people that is akiko. Akiko is slaughtering the ram. The akiko you are required to perform is what? The slaughtering, not the people. You are the one doing that one by yourself. When you invite people, you want to have the reward of feeding people. That's all. That we eat on the day of akiko is not connected to akiko itself. The only connection between them, if there are, is that it is the meat we slaughtered for a child, akiko, that we are eating. Otherwise, the akiko is fulfilled as you slaughter the ram like this. Salam alaikum. You have fulfilled akiko. The meaning of the akiko is the slaughtering itself, not the food that people came and eat. So who can say, a brother told me recently, he said, I have money to slaughter the ram, but I don't have money to make akiko. I say, what is akiko? Now, Yorubas are very, very funny in the way they practice their religion. May Allah protect us. They will buy fish, one carton, tomato, basket, pepper, half. And they will say they don't have money to slaughter the ram. So instead of slaughtering the ram and leaving that one, they use the money to buy tomato and amala. They will eat the amala and they will leave the ram. Meanwhile, the money with which they did all those things is sufficient to buy the soro or what are you calling it? And then slaughter the ram. But they will leave the slaughtering because they think that the akiko is the gathering of the people. It's a misconception. The akiko is the slaughter. So if you can't buy oil, you can't buy tomato, you can't buy anything, slaughter for yourself. If you slaughter, you can even give it to brothers without being cooked. Brother, today's akiko, where I cook, where I kill. I don't have any other things. You may not even explain. When they come, just give them the raw meat. Although the brothers who don't have wives will feel somehow on that day. As they come, just give them the meat. They collect the meat and go. It's okay. If you also choose not to give the meat, it's okay. But don't let it be that you want to rent a tent, you want to rent a chair. That is the reason why you can't slaughter a ram. It's a misnomer. The first priority after the mother and the father, the baby are okay, back home, is how to do what? Slaughter the ram. Very important. The slaughtering itself. If they are boys, if they are boys, two rams. Two equally looking rams. And if it's a girl, one ram. H-O-S. Ram. Three. Avoid inshallah in edua. Even if you mean inshallah by way of making tawkid or ta'kid, avoid inshallah in dua. He says, "Udu'u Allah wa antum muqinuna bil ijaba." When you make supplication, supplicate while knowing for certainty that Allah will answer the dua. So when you start saying inshallah now, we start asking, what do you mean by inshallah? You don't have to do that enough. They say, Allah will do it inshallah. Don't put inshallah. You can say the Ibnillah. That's another way. But don't say, avoid inshallah as much as possible. Avoid inshallah. Throughout. Kufur. Throughout the discussion on Shaykh al-Sunnah, no. Throughout the discussion on Nawakib al-Islam, he said, I deliberately refrained from saying the person has become a kafir. That I was saying the person is knocking the doors of kufur. Because mere violating those things does not necessarily and immediately mean kufur. That as soon as he violates it, it's a kafir. Because when you say somebody is knocking a door to something, when he enters, he becomes from the people of that place. So he's knocking the door, that is, if the door is open to him, if other conditions of takfir become open to him, he becomes a kafir. But mere violating those things does not immediately turn that person into kafir, into a kafir. I hope the matter is clear. That is one reason for doing that. The second reason for doing that is that Nawakib al-Islam is to make us know the things that make a person to become a kafir. It's not to say once you go out, anybody you see doing this is a kafir. And then to make us understand, like we read in Sharh al-Sunnah of Al-Muzani, he warned us, he says, "Wal insaku an takfiri ahlil qibla," it's common now. Somebody sees a person and say, kafir, this person is kafir, that one kafir, this one kafir. And you know what follows that statement? They want to kill the person. May Allah protect us. All those people you see fighting the rest of us, that is what they say. Once they declare somebody a kafir, they kill him. May Allah protect us. So when you caught that, you know, sickness, you hear that sickness of people liking to say, ascribe kufur to people, you solve the problem some way. I mean, that's the reason. Those are the reasons. He's asking that we said some people married up to 74 wives, but four at a time. He said, can I recommend? I won't recommend that. How will I recommend? Nobody recommends that. Nobody recommended it to him himself. But I am sure our fast do it, but they won't tell you what they are doing. If you have imam in this city today, or the one that died, go and ask how many wives he had before he died. If you have any major town, you have an imam, go and ask that imam, how many wives did he have before he died? The one that just died in this town, how many did he have? They will keep four at one time. But it doesn't mean they can't have, they know how to do it. But at first, they don't explain this one. That one, they put it under the leaf of echo. When they are eating, they'll be picking it from there. So it's not an issue of recommendation. Many brothers are still stuck battling with one wife. And those who have two are not finding it easy. Then three, then four. Then start talking about leaving one and marry another one. It's not easy. Nobody will tell you. It's not an issue of whether to recommend or don't recommend. Atiku Abu Bakr had five wives. This is our Atiku. He left one and remained four. He himself, he has not gone up to 70-something. It's not an easy thing to do. So it's not an issue of recommend or no recommend. It's not easy. It's not something somebody does easily. May Allah protect us. Alaykum as-salam. Naam. Thank you. The question is being an afa or an imam an occupation, and should that occupation be encouraged? You encourage your grammar. Should it be encouraged that some afas say they should be paid? So if they are not paid, when you gather on the day of your child's akiko or your child's wedding or our parents' jumai, they collect money there. Yes, they do it. Even on the day of Arafah at Arafah. What year? On the day of Arafah at Arafah, those afas, they will collect money from their people. And they will warn them that if they don't bring it, their Arafah is hanging. I tell you, I heard it. I'm not thinking it. In fact, that year I was with somebody who is an army officer. He was saying, "Man, Abraham, are we not going to deal with these people?" I said that here is Arafah, there's no dealing with anybody here. They even read Surah Al-Ikhlas, they raised one leg up. Should I tell you the people who did that? Not far. And their chief missioner was there. That's 2010 years ago, or 11 years ago now. Now fast. They read Kulu Allah, raised one leg up. And they collected money. I am saying, they collected dollar, they collected yard, anything, bring it. When they finished doing that, they now did mobilization for Fountain University. Here, this is your fountain. That year, 11 years ago, they did mobilization for money on Arafah. So having said that, how does the imam now cope, the chief missioner, how does he cope financially? Islam has nizam, arrangement. If we engage our imams to the extent that they don't have the time for any other job, necessarily we should pay them. If we engage them to the extent that they don't have any time for any other thing, and wallahi, knowledge is engaging. Brother, knowledge is engaging. This is perhaps one reason why Yoruba apostles have not found somebody to teach and read the Quran to them. Perhaps they've not found, because it requires time. I tell you this, somebody who will teach the people Quran, I don't mean to have school, I mean tafsir, and really, really do it well, he needs time. Wallahi, he needs time. He will sit down, firstly, and then he needs money. He will gather the books of tafsir. Today, there are books of tafsir that cost as much as 25,000 to 30,000 naira. There are some that cost more. He will gather them. He will gather Arabic dictionary. There's no way. After gathering the books of tafsir, he will gather Arabic dictionary. Then he will gather the books of sharh of hadith. Because some of the verses are connected to some ahadith, and you can never explain or understand them until you have gone back to those ahadith. So these masadir must be there with him. That is money to buy them. Then the time to read them. He has to go around. And when he's talking, you will know that this person is going around. Or you will not know, Mala. You will know. You will know this man is going around. He's informed. He knows what he's talking about. You can't expect him to leave the market at 6:30 and do that in the night. He has wives waiting for him. Maybe 2, 3, 4. Yes, because most times people like this, they are prone to marry more than one wife. I tell you. So the wives are waiting. The children are waiting. And the books are waiting. Students are also waiting. When he leaves his store at 6:30 in the evening or Maghrib, what will he do first? وَلِلْجَفَدِهِ عَلَيْهِ حَقُّكُمْ And his body also has right over him. Where will he start from? And perhaps some people are waiting for him after Isha. If he had been learned before, if he continues like this, he will become ignorant after a short while. If he had been learned before he starts this kind of a program, he goes to the market and comes back 5:30 in the evening, and students are waiting for him after Maghrib or after Isha, give him 2 years. He will turn back to become ignorant. So as he's teaching, he has to be upgrading knowledge. He has to upgrade knowledge. He has to go to Hajj, he has to go to Umrah to upgrade his Iman. Because if his Iman is not upgraded, what will he pass over to the people? The person who doesn't have a thing, can he give it? Not only that, he will upgrade his Iman when he goes for Umrah, he will upgrade his knowledge because he will meet better learned people. He will see newly published books that he will add to his library. Knowledge is work itself. And professor of state, professor of law, are they not paid? Those who study our constitution, this is a professor of constitutional law, are they not paid? Tell me the difference between the two. Somebody is struggling to protect the constitution by knowledge. Somebody is struggling to protect the Quran by knowledge. What is the difference? So you pay this one, you leave this one. Those are part of the hypocrisies in our system. You pay this one, you leave this one. And they are both engaged in the spiritual and moral development of the society. Yes. And the imams even do more. The imams do more because they come from moral aspects. They will tell you, don't cheat, don't steal the money, don't abuse, don't fight, don't be violent, don't. So they contribute to the society. So why they say the professor of constitutional law constitutes a benefit to society, they don't recognize this people. It's a hypocrisy. So they leave them to go to the market. Leave Professor Simbajo to go to the market as the Afa is going to the market. And let all of us be studying and see who will be able to remain. So why you engage this one and pay him? You leave this one to wander around. Look for what to eat. One or two things will happen. If he is able to feed well, his knowledge may not be sound. If his knowledge is sound, he will suffer poverty. This is how our scholars are. They are either sound and poor, or poor and meek, not sound. It's rare to find a learned person amongst the Muslims that combines between sufficiency, not richness. Sufficiency and knowledge is rare. We have only few. We have few. And when you pay them, when you provide sustenance, their attention is not divided. Their attention is focused. I met a scholar somebody referred to as a gene. I asked him face to face, how are you able to do what you do? Specifically, Sheikh Mashhur Hassan Al Salman. I was in his hotel room, so he took me to a restaurant. After we were eating, I asked him, how are you able to write all of these books you do? Right. He said, my brother, I am not spending for what I eat. So all I have to do is buy books and read. I don't have any other business. Books and reading. He was asked, if you die, what will you want Allah to prepare for you in Al-Jannah? He said, books. Sirah. If you know his works, you know what I'm talking about. He was asked, if you die in Al-Qiyamah, what would you like to have to enjoy life in Al-Jannah? Kutub, books. And there are many examples. Dr. Bashar Awad, he did the checking and editing, tahqiq of Tahzib al-Kamal of Al-Hafiz al-Mizzi in 35 volumes. He also did the tahqiq of Siyar wa Alam al-Nubala by Al-Imam al-Zahabi in 25 volumes. And then he did the tahqiq of Tariq al-Islam also by Al-Imam al-Zahabi in 25 volumes. One person. In the Muqaddima of Tariq al-Islam of Al-Imam al-Zahabi, that book came out late. So he was explaining why the book came out late. He said the book came out late because his elder brother who was funding him right from his primary school died. He had to now fend for himself to eat and then do the tahqiq. He said, so it's not like before. When I first did all those ones, I was free. All my life is library, books. Ulama give him a laqab. A'lamu an-nas bi khat al-zahab. The most learned of human beings about the handwritings of Al-Imam Shamsuddin al-Zahabi. What I'm saying is that when the learned person is free, all he has is to read and teach, he finds things a lot easier. Do you know that was how Al-Imam al-Bukhari was? Al-Imam Bukhari was not anything because he inherited money from his parents. He has sufficient time. So there are scholars like that. So it is easier for the afar. Nevertheless, when that is not available, he must fend for himself. He must fend for himself. Because if he waits for the people, Al-Imam Sufyan al-Thawri says, Lawla Habi is one of those rich, those who combine between wealth and knowledge. Sufyan al-Thawri. So some one day his shopkeepers brought money on his table for accounting. He has huge store. Says, Lawla Haza, La Tamanda Labina Ha'ula. If not, we say this money, those people will turn out to tissue paper. So when a scholar has some wealth and is learned, hani Allah. Because the other way around, these days is tough. If he's not careful, he will be behind. He will not even be able to buy books. And when he can't buy books, he can't read. He will be saying something that people have, Ustaz, where are you? This matter is long resolved. May Allah make things easy for us. Then should they go for sabbatica? When they go for sabbatica, what do they go to do? To upgrade their knowledge. Who pays for it? In fact, when they are there, they still pay them. Double salary. In the school where he's doing his sabbatical, they pay him there. Here he is, they pay him. And then you say, oh, there is scientific advancement. How will they not advance? But the Christians play that role. They cover that role for their leaders. Somebody was asking, amongst we Muslims, do we have some? I don't want to talk about that. I say, how can you have? You kill them. You brought them down. Because in our own case, go and look at the mosques where they build and employ imams. They don't pay the imams well. Go and ask. They will pay him 25,000. They say, oh, after all, it's Afa. So, the market of Afa is different. You want two wives. Afa doesn't want two wives. You wear guinea. Afa doesn't wear guinea. No good cap. Malan Jafar Mahmood one day was talking about the cap he was wearing, 60,000 naira cap, one cap. Yes, 60. Sheikh Jafar Mahmood, may Allah forgive him. And I learned also from some of his close students that he eats one chicken every day. How is that? Nah, khalas. That was like Al-Imam Al-Nasa'i, the one who wrote Sunan Al-Nasa'i. Al-Imam Al-Nasa'i also ate one chicken every day. So how will the brain not work? Tell me, the brain will work. The brain will work. The brain will work. You will produce. You have a gen in your house, powered 24 hours. You have cars. Yes, you have air conditioning in your house. You have driver. That is what they give to professors those days. You want to write something. In the past, ulama had those they called Nusakh. Those who write for them. Sheikh Albani had. The one who was writing for Sheikh Albani was Isa Musa Hadi. That's his name. They are, look, I want to write this thing. Copy from here to here for me and bring it to me. They need it too. So they face other things. So, but these days, we leave their past to themselves. That is the liver. Yes. Because what you are running after, they are running after it too. Some of the people will think if they drive Benz Jeep, and pass you drive Okada. How can you say you drive Benz Jeep? The Jama'ah in the Masjid are driving Benz Jeep. Imam is driving Okada. How is that? Is this fair? He has wives. His wives are members of the congregation like your own wives. When your own wives wear guinea, the imam's own should wear staplet. And then your wife begins to say, look at the wives of imam, they are so dirty. How did he become dirty? On the other way around, if it were non-Muslims, subhanAllah. I told you, I mentioned this one. The imam of this masjid is an old man who lives Salatul Jum'ah here. One day after we all packed cars here and performed Salatul Jum'ah, I was leaving, I left late. As I turned to go, I saw the man waiting for Korope. Is it fair? Some of us who pray here are senators, House of Rep, whatever, commissioners, and the rest of us. We all packed cars, double lane, Abi, on day of Jumah. This place is filled up. We went in our cars. And you'll be telling us, Allah Njayo Yawa O Korosi Yawa. When you'll be saying, Ami, Abi. When you go out, he's riding Korope. And you'll be saying, Ami to his dua. Is it fair? It is one of the reasons it's taking us backwards. It's taking us backwards. May Allah make things easy for us. So we can't say it's an occupation, but it preoccupies. It preoccupies. It really preoccupies. Knowledge. Sometimes you don't like to study anything, you just want to sit down calmly and let the brain cool. Let the brain have some fresh air. You can't afford that if you are in the shop. Or running after contracts from one office to the other. Today you are in Kaduna, next tomorrow you are in Abuja. How are you going to cope? Knowledge deserves and requires you to settle down. You are settled. So your thoughts will be settled thoughts. And your researches will be in-depth. Therefore, your output too will reflect all of that. But we incapacitate them and then we complain about them. Allah protect us. In this month, sometimes even when they gather the money, one is ashamed. This month, every day they collect the money. Are you saying we don't have people who can do what the mosque wants to do? What is the mosque doing? This market, what will they want to do? They cannot spend 20,000 naira in 1 week. They can't. Can't we have a Muslim who will spend 20,000 naira for this market every week? In this social book? 95% Muslim. Other things are propaganda. The Muslims form the large majority here. Apart from this mosque in the middle of the city, where is another mosque where we pray Salat al-Jumma? Where? Where? Ojoba. Okay, where again? Ojoba. If we have a Muslim president, he wants to make Salat al-Jumma, where will he make it? Ojoba. One pastor came here, your governor gave him 30 million when he was going. Yes, he didn't read it in the papers. I don't know anybody in government. I read it in the papers, general papers. It was in Daily Trust. Pastor. But all the imams, Siletoko, Council of Afar, Siletoko, they went to do one Quranic competition. When they came out, they gave them 1 million, how many? 2 million. And they start even Allahu Alam with the money. Pastor came, because he came with helicopter, private jet. How much will you pay him to fuel his jet? So when he was going over, he said, it was 30 million. I think we need to rethink where we have placed our imams. We need a rethink. I think selfishness. I am a brother, he tells me, you people that are doing that one, you people that are doing that one. One day I went to a program, far away, south. It was a Sunday program. I went to that program from Kaduna, and I went by road. I did that program on a Sunday. It means I traveled on day one for me. As far as that program is concerned, that is my own day one. I did the program on Sunday. People came to me and said, why did I not come on Friday so that I could do the program on Saturday and Sunday? I said, no problem, I can wait till Monday. Do you understand? He said, I know Monday we are going to work. I said, you know me, I don't have work. So I should come here on Friday. That's how we eat our cake and have it. Those are supposed to be the allies, so the so-called allies. He said, why didn't I travel on Friday? You know me, I don't have work. I should travel on Friday, wait, do the educate him on Saturday, and then Sunday, and then I go back on Monday when he is returning to his office. So I should occupy his whole weekend. You know me, I don't have work. So I said, okay, I can wait till Monday. Say, no, Monday me, I'm going to work. We've been so unfair to the imam. Frankly, I tell you this, don't ask what they wear. Don't ask how they feed their family. And many of the people enjoy it like that. The imam should be back. You call somebody imam. Like it says, Aluhu wara, imam, ya umuka. He will be in your front, you will be following him. But you make him live like he's behind. When Umar radiallahu anhu saw a fine big cloth, what did he do? He bought it and took it to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Prophet, this cloth is good for Jum'ah and the days that you have big men visiting you. These are looking by good. Wear it. We our own, it is the old one, the one we are not wearing again. That is the one we give the Imam. This bab, if you open it, is a kit. Many of the people will not discuss it. Because when they discuss it, another thing Shaitan will be putting in the minds of people is a hafiyam. They want to make they bring money for them. We don't want. But we can speak on behalf of people. It's really unfair. A lot of people are not sleeping. He wants to take from his knowledge. He was not sleeping day and night to learn. Yes. Sometimes somebody sent recently, somebody sent me one lengthy text message asking me a question. And the Bible says, with evidences, sir. So I will start typing all those evidences like pam 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 pam. So I should start typing those my evidences. I mean, you are there in the corner of your room telling me to type. One of our brothers, will stop with this, Abu Hikmah. He said one night around 12:30, he was trying to resolve a matter. He was reading, starting through the book, somebody called him. Said, people call. Said, the president starts, I'm like, say, how are you fine, sir? Ustaz, I'm trying to sleep. I can't find sleep. I just thought, who can I call? Oh, I just thought to call him. Wallahi, ask him. It's not fair. You can't find sleep, so Ustaz should not sleep. Even though most of the times people don't sleep, I tell you this. Most of the time, they are lying down on the bed and they have books with them. I tell you. You are lying down on the bed, you still have books, you still have one thing, you still want to check, you want to clarify this, you want to clarify that. Wallahi, knowledge is tasking, especially if you want to be up to date. Very, very tasking. And a lot of people are not fair to them. Thank you. May Allah make things easy for us. Allahu Akbar. Now, alaykum salam. You want to go back to that question again?
I agree in studying everything. And yes, you know that that's how you are. But I see from different paradigms.
You've spoken grammar, paradigm. What is the meaning? Okay.
And a different way of asking. Yeah, when you our
you have not asked the question, no?
Yeah, so I'm not. The thing is, coming here now, the way we are connected, and I know that yes, what the thing is helping, but in a case where you find even amongst themselves, the infighting and
leave the infighting amongst ulama.
That is the problem.
Let's leave that. Let's leave infighting amongst ulama. In fact, when people come into it, they worsen the situation. Leave that infighting. When alim, don't put yourself. Go away from it. It's usually a place of fitna for people. When you come in, you are coming to bring something that is big on your head. Stay clear. It's one area that one should always stay clear. We have this malam quarreling. And when you start personal matters, not being-based matters, stay clear. So when we intervene, because they deal with themselves on levels that we don't understand, I tell you, they relate to themselves. This one is angry with the other for things that when they explain to us, we may understand. But because we don't understand, it's like a husband and a wife. Most of the time, when you come in between a man and his wife, the trouble will come back to you. So, if we look at that, we'll be being unfair to them. Two learned persons are in a quarrel. It does not mean that each of them should not have the right from us to them. That is a different thing altogether. We should not allow that to disturb our dealings with each of them, as the case may be, and then we should avoid coming in between. Usually, especially in personal matters, personal disagreements. Let's be clear. May Allah make this easy for us. Alaykum salam. Now,
Allah
You say what? In case of? Okay. A matured? A male that has not matured can teach a female that has matured. Why? Does it mean that a child, male, that is not matured, you cannot destroy his heart? May Allah protect us. Let's avoid things like this. The best teachers for females are females. That is how to read Quran. There are other aspects of deen. It is not only reading the Quran that Allah told the Prophet to teach us. He says, هو الذي بعث في الأميين رسولا منهم. What did he say? يتلو عليهم آياته. ويزكيهم ويعلمهم الكتاب والحكمة. Four things. We are always emphasizing one. يتلو عليهم تلاوة. Reading. يزكيهم. He will purify them. He will push away dirty thoughts from their minds and dirty characters from their limbs. That is tazkiyah. وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابِ. He will make tafsir of Quran to them. And the ahkam of Quran, the rulings of the Quran, the stories of the Quran, the lessons of the Quran, he will explain it. يُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابِ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. And then he will teach them the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad. What we emphasize today is only tilawa. And Imam Fudayl ibn Iyad, and then after him, Sufyan al-Thawri, they say that أُمِرُوا بِتِلَاوَةِ الْقُرْآنِ لِيَعْمَلُوا بِهَا فَاتَّقَذُوا تِلَاوَتَهُ عَمَلًا. The people were commanded to read the Quran so that they can follow the Quran. But they took the reading itself as the work. When you read it, you expected to follow the reading. But now the reading gaga is the work. So we go to competition, we go to, that is the work now. The sweetest voice. No, that was not the reason for which the Quran was revealed. It says it was revealed liyadabbaru ayatihi. وَلِيَتَذَكَّرَ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. Al-Imam Ibn al-Qayyim, he was saying, rahimahullah, that to read the Quran, you read one page with tadabbur is better than reading more than that without tadabbur. That is tadabbur, contemplating what you are reading. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. You are reading. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. What is Allah saying? What is this? Today we don't have excuse. If you don't know Arabic, there is English Quran translation. If you don't know English, there is Yoruba for you. You can support it to know. May Allah make this easy for us. Alaykum as-salam. One hijab day. Today is a celebration. When did it start? This was hijab day. Celebration. 2013. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Did women wear hijab in his time? Before 2013, were women wearing hijab in Islam? Why are we starting a new one? New deen. They say it is a way of enlightening the people, have you? You can do lectures without picking a day. And every day is a day to encourage people about any aspect of the religion. Why specify a day and a time? Another Eid. Eid al-Hijab. We already have Eid al-Hijra, Abi. Hijra Day celebration. The same people organize Hijra Day are the same people organizing Hijab Day. Usually TMC is behind things like this. TMC, Lagos Muslim Congress, they like things like this. As for us, we will suffice what Al-Imam al-Muzani said when he referred to the companions and their students. He says, لَمْ يَرْغَبُوا عَنِ اتِّبَاعِ فَيُقَفِّرُوا لَمْ يَرْغَبُوا عَنِ اتِّبَاعِ فَيُقَفِّرُوا وَلَمْ يُجَاوِزُوهُ تَزَيُّدًا فَيَعْتَدُوا فَصُدِّدُوا بِعَوْنِ اللَّهِ وَوُفِّكُوا. He says, لَمْ يَرْغَبُوا عَنِ اتِّبَاعِ فَيُقَفِّرُوا. They did not try to seek anything apart from the Sunnah, فَيُقَفِّرُوا, which could cause them to be deficient in the Sunnah. If you are looking for another thing apart from the Sunnah, what do? You leave the Sunnah. فَيُقَفِّرُوا. وَلَمْ يُجَاوِزُوهُ, and they did not go beyond it. فَيَعْتَدُوا, and they go to extremes. It's also prohibited. They did not leave the Sunnah, which could cause them to be deficient upon the Sunnah, and they did not go beyond looking for other than the Sunnah that could make them to go what? Extremes. فَسُدِّدُوا. Because of that, they were guided upon the straight path, وَوُفِّكُوا, and they got success. So if we want that, remaining upon the Sunnah, don't start new one. Preach Islam, preach Hijab. When you do tafsir of Quran, you get to that place, explain Hijab. But to say you pick a day that you are celebrating Hijab, it is an innovation. May Allah protect us. TMC, they are known for things like this, and it is very wrong. Very, very wrong. May Allah protect us. I think that will suffice today, inshallah. Cool? Our intention is to, like one of our brothers asked when we were reading Sharh al-Sunnah, I think H-O-S, that we did not, when we spoke about As-Sa'ah, the day of Qiyamah, we did not discuss Alamat al-Sa'ah. So I said if we branch to Alamat al-Sa'ah, it will be extensive. But we promised then that when we finish Sharh al-Sunnah, we will read a book on Alamat al-Sa'ah, the signs of the last hour. So our next class, bi-ibnillah, next weekend, we'll start with the book Alamat al-Sa'ah by a very respected doctor, Dr. Yusuf Al-Wadi. He titled the book Ashraf al-Sa'ah. Very big book in over 400 pages. About 500 pages. But one of our brothers has gone and summarized the book by only mentioning the point. So we read the point, we explain it. We read the next point like that. And Ashraf al-Sa'ah, the science of the last hour, ulama divided into two. Inshallah, next week we give full explanation. There are Ashraf al-Sa'ah al-Kubra and Ashraf al-Sa'ah As-Sughra, the major signs and the minor signs. If you ask, why are you studying Ashraf al-Sa'ah? Jibreel asked the Messenger alayhi salatu wa salam about Ashraf al-Sa'ah. He says, فَخْبِرْنِي أَنِ السَّعَةُ. He says, مَا الْمَسْئُولُ عَنْهَا بِأَعْلَمَ مِنَ السَّعِيلِ. He says, فَخْبِرْنِي أَنْ عَمَارَاتِهَا. Then tell me the signs. أَنْ أَشْرَاطِهَا. Tell me the signs. So it means, and at the end of the day it says, فَإِنَّهُ جِبْرِيلْ أَتَاكُمْ يُعَلِّمُكُمْ دِينَكُمْ. It was Jibreel, he came to teach you your deen. From that deen is to learn what? Ashraf al-Sa'ah. So inshallah we'll read the book for 4 weeks. In 2 weeks inshallah we'll read Ashraf al-Sa'ah al-Sughra. And in the 2 weeks that will follow bi-idhni Rabbi, we'll read Ashraf al-Sa'ah al-Kubra, the major signs. Like Zuhur al-Mahdi, issues around Imam al-Mahdi, Khuruj al-Masih al-Dajjal, the emergence of Dajjal, Nuzul Isa alayhi salam, the coming down of Nabi Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, Zuhur ya'juj wa ma'juj, the Gog and the Magog as they call them, al-Dukhan, the smoke that will come out, Tulu al-Shams min maghribiha, the sun rising from its place of set. The coming out of a creature, an amazing creature from the earth. Zuhurun nar allati, zuhurun nar, the coming out of the fire. Allati tahshirun nar, it will gather the people. The fire that, who will it gather? All of these, inshallah, will explain as much as Allah gives us the ability. So in our next class, we start with Ashratu Sa'a of Yusuf al-Wadi. I think the brother made some copies. He could give us some copies so that as we read, we read. We will mention the ahadith on them, inshallah. Bismillah. May Allah make it easy for us. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك آمين.